This is Financial Detox, helping you retire with confidence. Featuring Jason Labrum, certified financial planner and founder of IDA Wealth, intelligence-driven advisors. For over 20 years, Jason has shown people how to steer clear of toxic advice, achieve financial peace of mind, and manage their wealth for maximum impact. Join Jason and co-host Alex Klingensmith as they simplify the complex, share industry secrets, and provide proven strategies designed to take you from financial insecurity to financial independence. This is Financial Detox.
Hello, welcome to Financial Detox. I'm Jason Labrum, your host in studio with Alex Klingensmith, and it's just Alex and I back in studio again today. We're bringing you Financial Detox live out of the Financial Detox studios, where the home of intelligence-driven advisors and the Financial Detox team and intelligence-driven advisors. How many times can I say Financial Detox in the first opening segment? We're happy to be with you. We want to help you. Financial Detox is about helping you make better decisions, helping you avoid the great behavioral blunders that most people make, helping you think through things, create philosophy, create discipline and principles from which you invest. And hopefully ways, you know, we give you thoughts and ideas about how to tie those into your life as well, because this is Financial Detox. You can get a hold of us at 877-707-8889. That's 877-707-8889. And so we're talking about checks out at financialdetox.com.
Yes, our website, which is awesome. Thank you, our marketing team, and Allison for making that look better.
Hey, it keeps getting better. Yeah, so you've got to really check out financialdetox.com or idawealth.com, either one of those, not to give you too many here, because if you're listening to us driving in your car or whatnot, but you know, financialdetox.com, you can get in there to our resources, and we have videos. We did our whole frequently asked questions, our whole FAQ section on videos. Mm-hmm. It was really fun. Mm-hmm. Got to talk out the answers. So yeah, we invite you to check it out. And look, we are a wealth management firm, right? We are absolutely growing our wealth management firm. In fact, we were top six fastest growing wealth management firms. That was the beginning of this year, so last year, and have had a great year helping people preserve their wealth and all this volatility, help them think correctly about the market. So we love doing the show. Financial Detox is our consumer education brand, but let there be no mistake about it. If you are currently working with a non-fiduciary advisor, or you have an advisor who doesn't work on the things that we're going to talk about today, which is we're back to our investing 101, finance 101, and today we're going to be talking about kind of some tax things, because mm-hmm. we know we're starting to think about, this is the time where most advisors start thinking about tax loss harvesting. This is where we're rounding up all the results of our tax loss harvesting throughout the year and sharing with our clients how much money they have saved on their taxes because of the philosophies we put forth. But yeah, we're going to have a great show. It's Investing 101. This is about going to some of the fundamental basics of which we call delivering value, how we as advisors can help you be a better investor. And quite frankly, it comes down to value, right? How we provide value. If you're going to pay us, or you're going to pay any advisor, we believe, unfortunately, there are still too many advisors in this business and industry that you're paying them and you're probably not getting what you deserve. And so we try and show you exactly how we create value.
I liked it yesterday. We had an advisor call. We had a monthly advisor call, at least. And we talked about this because we use research from studies done by big, you know, InvestNet, you know, Russell, to name a couple, Vanguard.
Yeah.
And these big research institutions have started to try, or they've been trying to pinpoint, like, what is the alpha? What does an advisor bring to the relationship? What are the things they're actually doing that are measurable? Because the biggest thing we do, I think, is behavioral coaching, right? Behavioral finance, which is impossible to measure. Not really. I mean, I don't think you can measure all of it. And my point is, even those studies, they try to measure it.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, how many times in a year like this year did we keep people from making huge mistakes?
I mean, I can think of 10 or 15, you know, right offhand. When you get the experience that we had this year, which has been just crazy, of course, with COVID and one of the single biggest market declines ever in history that happened over about a 30-day period, culminating on March 23rd at the low, and then certainly the single fastest market recovery or shortest bear market we've ever had in history, mm-hmm. as the markets recovered inside of like 30 days. And yet, you know, people, the feelings are real, Alex. I mean, we have financial detoxes for a reason, right? It's just like a health detox. You go purge your body of those nasty toxins that come through the foods we eat that aren't maybe healthy, maybe the alcohol we drink or the air we breathe, and you go through a health detox to just kind of wash all that out. In a financial detox, you know, you have to kind of wash out all the misinformation that you constantly get. It used to be that people would come to advisors, or in the old days it was brokers, so that you could get information because they housed it all. But now it's completely flip-flopped. Now it's about coming to advisors to sift through the masses of information that's out there and try and get you the stuff that's actually worthwhile.
Yeah, and you're paying for a coach too, right? We're coaches, and we also help people implement, or we implement on their behalf, things that we can control.
Yes.
Kind of educate on an ongoing basis about things that we cannot control, while not ignoring them, but still accepting, okay, these are the things that are happening around us. Let's kind of talk through it. And that's where on this piece that we have, and we'll get specific in a minute here, but yep. You know, we talked yesterday about lumping in. There's two major things that we do for clients. We do financial planning and we do investment management. Boring terms, jargon. But the financial planning is important because it puts the whole thing into perspective. The investment management, I feel like, is the execution of how do we, you know, invest people's money, right?
Right.
And so we talked last time about the kind of the framework of all the things that we do, and that every advisor, we believe, should be doing these things for the clients all the time. And if they're not, it's probably not the best. There could be a better way for you.
You know, we're not saying that these are bad advisors or bad people or anything, but I mean, just like in any profession, right? There's a certain amount of the profession that the cream rises to the top, and a certain amount of the profession that really is methodical and really is precise about how they operate. Mm-hmm. You know, dermatologist, you know, one dermatologist goes and takes something out and it ends up a 9, but then the next dermatologist checks that thing out and they're like, oh, wow, we caught it. You know, there's just all kinds of there's a different level of expertise and precision which practitioners operate in every field.
The last segment of this show, we talked about just asset allocation. Super important fundamental building block of what you should be doing is proper asset allocation,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did.
And many advisors stop right there. So today we're going to talk about take asset allocation and then go to the next level, which is now let's layer over all the things we can do from a tax perspective.
Yeah.
Because taxes are something you can mitigate. You can't eliminate, but you can mitigate, right?
Huge. It's something you can certainly control. You made me think of when you talked about asset allocation. I was reading this Ray Dalio piece, right? Ray Dalio is one of the famous, you know, well-known hedge fund manager who's had some great years and great performance with his company Bridgewater. But he was talking about principles and how they, you know, it's so important to have principles in life. And we were talking about, gosh, I'm trying to tie this all together off of what you were saying, but the principles of how you invest and why you invest in asset allocation. When we look at so many, here's where I was going. Prospective clients, they come in and they have an asset allocation that is flawed from an investment principles, from a here's a sound, proper way to invest based upon data, evidence, history. You know, all we have is history, data, and evidence, right? Yeah. But yet people are lost in one of Ray Dalio's lifelong principles is truth. And they're lost in an absence of truth. Because maybe they're in all U.S. large cap equities right now, and they think that it's done, well, they know it's done very well.
Yeah.
It's Financial Detox. I'm Jason Labrum, your host. Thanks for tuning in. Jason Labrum, Alex Klingensmith in studio. We're talking about investing 101. We're breaking down some fundamental principles of how we deliver value and how a good financial advisor should be delivering value. Things they should be, an advisor should be doing. If you don't have an advisor and you're doing this on your own to save some money, which is why most people would not hire an advisor, because why wouldn't you have a second opinion and a coach unless you're trying to save money or you just don't value what advisors can do, right. Then you should be doing this on your own. If you're listening here and you do it on your own and you don't do this stuff, you probably need an advisor, or you need
don't
to,
self-medicate.
Yeah, or just learn and do this too.
Pay the doctor to treat you and heal you if you're sick.
Yeah. So, all right, let's dive in, Alex. Because other than that, we could talk about mountain biking and all that kind of stuff. Because we're both kind of getting back into mountain biking, which is fun.
Well, I've only done it 3 times this year, and every time I did it, it was super fun. I don't know why I've stopped.
It's crazy how it's fun because it's painful and it's a lot of work, and it's, you know, you're riding a bike up a hill because you want to go down, but you have to go up to get down.
Yeah, that's why you love Catalina, though, man. So I went with my buddy Kenji back in January, yeah. And it was awesome. It was like New Year's, January 2nd or whatever, and it was cold, but it was clear. And you ride up out of the town, of Avalon, and you're on a ridge. But it goes down and up a lot. It doesn't just go up all.
Yeah, so you're getting tons of little climbs and little. Yeah, that's fun.
And big ones. You go from 2,000 feet to zero, and then 2,000 feet.
Well, let's
to
go
zero,
do that.
It's pretty good.
You all right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to throw.
Where have you been going?
Just local. Like, where do we go? Back in La Costa, and then Rancho Penasquitos. We rode with a group of guys the other day. It was really fun. They were great riders, man. These guys climbed like mules, man. They just.
It's got to be like one of the number one like increasing sports this year, right? People buying mountain bikes. And
sure.
Bikes are hard to get.
You can't get them.
Yeah.
I had to go on some obscure website. It's probably China. Who knows? I don't know. But they're sending me a bike and to upgrade my bike. It's like I bought a bike for like $500 8 years ago from a guy. It was a great value at that time, right? Nobody cared.
Yeah.
That bike now I can probably resell it for $1,500.
Probably.
Anyway. All right. Yeah. So we're talking about end of year. It's coming the end of the year, right? So you've probably heard of tax loss harvesting.
Yeah.
So let's hit that because it's simple and straightforward. So tax loss harvesting is when tax loss. I say lost. It's not lost harvesting. Tax loss harvesting. when you have a position in your portfolio, you bought it. It went down. So from the price you paid versus the price it is, it's down. You sell that position. You buy something else immediately that is not, according to the IRS, substantially the same. I'm doing air quotes. It's not substantially the same. So that means that if you have an ETF that has exposure to short-term bonds, you could sell that ETF with short-term bonds and go buy another short-term bond ETF. It's a different name, but it's not substantially the same.
Right? Let me give an even more specific example, because this happened and it will tie into tax-sensitive asset location in a minute maybe, but let's say, it won't work for tax-sensitive asset location, but let's say back in March, April, you had emerging markets ETF, whatever, XYZ, iShares, Vanguard, whatever. It was down 30 or 40% in 30 days probably, right? And we're like, cool, that's awesome. That's a tax loss harvest opportunity.
Right.
No automated robo would have told us that. That's because we're watching every day and the systems, the software is scanning every day, every asset class, every position.
So you're saying that you scan the portfolio every day for opportunities to exercise tax loss harvesting.
We do.
That's unusual.
And
that does not happen.
Most people don't do that. Systems and software with logic built
expensive
in by
software.
Us. that tells us every morning, like, hey, there's an opportunity here. Emerging markets is down 30% in the past, and it triggers some sort of threshold, let's call it, right? Which we have set.
Yeah.
We're going to buy, if it was the iShares one, we're going to actually sell it on purpose and buy our second favorite, maybe Vanguard, maybe whoever.
Yeah.
And that then is, that happened.
Yeah, so let's say you bought a $100,000 position. It was down to $70,000. You had a $30,000 loss. If you're a client of ours, we would be exercising what we call tax loss harvesting on a daily scan. So it doesn't mean we sell every day because positions aren't down. But when we do have a new position that's down, we sell it. That's $30,000 as a tax loss to offset future gains plus $3,000 every year. So all your gains can be offset by that. And plus you can take an extra $3,000. So let's say you had gains and that truly offsets the gains. You're talking about saving on that $30,000. You're talking about putting maybe $10,000 back in your pocket.
Even better probably to even go a little further, which is the tolerance band rebalancing part. But if we were to have trimmed off some of the bonds at that exact moment in time, because bonds actually went up a little bit or stayed stable, and bought more emerging markets even. So you're selling something that's gone up a little bit, bringing it back to target. Yep. Buying even more emerging markets, you offset some of those gains of the bonds.
You're teasing out my favorite topic right there.
Well,
you just teased out tolerance band rebalancing.
I know. I couldn't get away from it.
Case for a night.
Well,
I didn't want it.
The logic, it's like dominoes. The logic makes sense in a comprehensive way to do it.
Yes.
But that really happened this year, and I think a lot of people missed it because they either got really scared and sold something that was down all the way. We're not talking about selling it all the way and not getting back in.
Yeah, no, we get back in immediately.
Trades
happen.
And
the
why
same
is that? Because everyone was like, emerging markets are never coming back because China and all this stuff.
Yeah, no, emerging markets will come back, right? Capitalism is a global phenomenon. Countries and companies and human beings creating products and services and selling those for a profit, aka capitalism. Free market capitalism is the best, we believe. But Yeah, no, those countries are not going to stop doing things. Think of the population and the sheer humans in India, and the level of intelligence and the level of a desire and drive and enthusiasm to create a better standard of living for themselves. We've become a little lazy and accustomed to our wonderful standard of living, in my opinion, here in the United States, but there's a lot of people who aren't. They are driving and thriving and dying to have the opportunities that we have here. Emerging markets are going to be a great place to be over the next 20 years, I believe.
Yeah.
But they do have more volatility. They have more spits and spats and times of ups and downs. So you need to be paying attention to how you rebalance so that you don't trim them too early. You don't let them go down. You know, let them go. Don't keep buying them as they start down initially. They need to run.
And don't only do it at the end of the year, like many people say. We do that. We look at the end of the year only.
If you should ask an advisor, if you have an advisor, and if you don't, ask yourself, what is my strategy for tax loss harvesting?
Yeah.
And if it's at the end of the year, I glance at things because I heard somebody say tax loss harvesting and I look at what's to sell, you are missing out on the real tax loss harvesting that often doesn't happen at the end of the year. It happens throughout the year.
At random, yeah.
We estimate, and this is me estimating, so bear with me here, but I think we put north of $1 million back in our clients' pockets on taxes.
We'll know soon. We're upgrading to an involved software that actually is
able to measure that.
Exactly.
But I truly think we were no less than 500, no question.
Well,
we did the study on a much smaller tax loss harvest, and it was like 350,000. So this has to be between 500,000 and $1 million. Our clients are not going to pay in taxes, because we exercised tax loss harvesting on a daily scan and we picked up on the opportunity we had first year. Tax loss harvesting is critical. It can add, according to the delivering value piece, you know, there's studies from Russell, Investnet, Vanguard, and Morningstar, and at least two of those will show you the value that can be created, and I think the average is about 0.5%. Jason Labrum, Alex Klingensmith in studio. We are bringing you Investing 101 on the tax series, tax loss harvesting, tax sensitive asset location. Give us a call at 877-707-8889.
There it is.
877. I don't have my notes in front of me today on that.
You also never call it yourself, probably.
That's right. 877-707-8889. If you would like to explore how the Financial Detox team at Intelligence Driven Advisors can help you pursue better, who can help you pursue your investment strategy and philosophy with precision tied to your holistic and comprehensive financial plan, you want to reach out to us because we can make a difference for you.
Check us out
at financialdetox.com.
This next one's tough. On an advisor call with all of our 10 advisors yesterday, I learned again, which is great because I love learning every day.
Yes.
This one I was like, what is the logic and the why behind why we layer our investments across
tax
account types?
Sensitive asset location. We're not talking about asset allocation. We're talking about tax sensitive. So let's break this down.
Yeah, I think we just lost a few people right there. Listen.
So we're not talking about asset allocation. We're talking about thinking about the tax sensitivity that each person has.
Yeah.
And where we locate the different assets we have, the different asset classes, the different positions, the different holdings. Which accounts do we put those in? So even our graphical illustration of this, which is a really cool graphical illustration, but if you look at it, it's like the synapses in your brain start going.
So let's frame this for just a minute, because I'm thinking of like, okay, I'm just listening to the show, I'm tuning in right now. Does this part matter to me or not? It matters to you if you have three different account types, or at least two. Meaning like you have a Roth, tax-free growth.
Great.
You've got a tax-deferred account, which almost everybody has.
An IRA.
Which came from a 401k probably.
Yes.
And then you've got after-tax money that you've saved all by yourself in a joint account or a trust account or something like that. So three different buckets of money.
And then it's optimum if you have three different buckets. But
even two's okay.
Two's great. I mean, two matters. This starts to matter.
Yeah.
In a big way.
So you have this amount of money. It's a meaningful amount of money. It's not like 5,000 here and 1,000 here. It's like adding up to hundreds of thousands, total millions.
Yeah, if you got $5,000 or $1,000, just keep saving money. That's your job.
There you go.
Here, we have 4 minutes. Here's how we're going to do this. Alex, I got it. I got a really good way to do it. So we're going to break this down into stocks and bonds, and we're going to do it into high growth stocks, normal stocks, and then bonds.
Okay.
Three categories. So you got high growth stocks, you have stocks.
High growth means more volatility, more risk.
More volatility, more risk, more potential for return.
Yeah.
Higher expected rate of return.
Okay.
So high expected rate of return stocks. We have normal expected rate of return stocks, and we have bonds.
Got it.
And actually, that's probably too complex. We should just go stocks and bonds.
Okay.
Let's just go stocks and bonds.
Okay.
Stocks have a historic average annual return of about, let's just say 10. Okay. I could argue 8, I could argue 12. We'll call it 10. Bonds have a historic average annual rate of return of 4.5. And so stocks return more. Why would you ever even own bonds? Well, you own bonds because it smooths out volatility. But if you don't care about volatility and you just want to make the most return, you wouldn't own bonds. Yeah, because if you have a massively diversified portfolio of stocks, you really don't have risk, because not all publicly traded companies are going to fail to exist at the same time. That's a whole nother story. We got 2 minutes. Here we go. This is going to be tight.
So where do you put the bonds? Where do you put the stocks?
Exactly. Now, conventional wisdom, a lot of times people think, I'm going to put my stocks that grow the most, because 10% return versus bonds at 4.5, I'm going to put those in my IRA because it's tax-deferred growth. I get to defer that growth.
Yeah.
At first glance, logically, that seems great, but it's not great. Here's why. Stocks will issue capital, or will issue dividends. Stocks don't pay interest, they pay dividends. Dividends most often, and often, can be taxed at long-term capital gains rate, the dividend rate. So they get taxed at a lower rate, any dividends. Some stocks don't even issue dividends.
Right.
Bonds all pay interest. All bonds pay interest. So we're leaving out tax-free bonds for now. But all bonds pay interest. The interest that bonds pay is taxed as ordinary income.
So just for people that don't maybe have those memorized like we probably do, capital gains is like 0 to 20%.
Yep.
And then ordinary income is 0 to like 50% maybe.
Well, if you add state in there, I'd go 0 to 48 or 49, 50, call 50. Yeah, so much lower tax brackets
if like you're half.
If you're taxed at capital gains rates. And so dividends are good from a tax perspective. Interest on bonds, not so good.
And even trimming gains on stocks for total return plays.
Yes.
Trimming gains, that's still capital gains.
As long as you wait 1 year, it's long-term capital gains.
Right.
Yeah, short-term capital gains is kind of nasty because it falls under the ordinary income tax bracket. But long-term capital gains, if you own it for a year, we're in a much better tax bracket. So what? Here's the philosophy that happens. You put your stocks that are going to grow the most and that are going to be the most tax efficient, your equities, that you have the least turnover in, that pay dividends, you're going to put those in your trust account. You're going to put your bonds for as much as you can, right? Understand that you may not have the perfect balance of money in each account, but the majority. You're going to put your bonds inside your IRA because they're paying ordinary interest, ordinary income interest, and now that's sheltered. That interest that's paid is sheltered from all of the gains, all of the tax. So
this
it's
is
great.
Where, this is where, I know we're out of time. This is where compliance says that everybody's situation is different.
It
so
does.
Please consult us before you go implement these decisions on your own.
You know, everything we talk about on this show is always in theory, and I think there's a nice disclaimer at the end of the show. But I mean, this is practical and real.
This part's hard.
This could add a half.
You don't want to do by yourself, probably.
This could add a half a percent. Yeah. It could add a return, a percent a year to you by doing this correctly. So the other thing is, if you think about your most growth-oriented assets, if those are inside your IRA, well, when you get done with your IRA and you start taking money out, guess what? 30 to 40, maybe 50% of that money is not yours.
All ordinary income.
It's all ordinary income. And it belongs to the government.
Yeah.
Half of that money, a third of that money belongs to the government. So do you want to grow something a lot that ultimately 30% of it or 40% of it belongs to the government?
And the stretch IRA thing change. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going the wrong direction for us on that.
So you want to grow your assets in your trust or your after-tax account because they get to step up on basis if you pass it to heirs, and when you take it out, it's long-term capital gains. It's complex. We got to close it there, but I think you got a general idea. We'll have some show notes posted at financialdetox.com, so you can check that out, and we'll put a little bit more information on there that you can see, but we'd love you to just give us a call. We'll walk you through this and look at your portfolio and see if you're doing it correctly. If you are, that's awesome. If you're not, this is something that can add real returns to you. It's Financial Detox. I'm Jason Labrum, your host. Check us out, financialdetox.com. Thanks, Alex, for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you next week. All right. Bye-bye.
To learn more about Financial Detox and to get access to today's show notes, transcript, and resources, visit financialdetox.com. Call Jason and the team at Intelligence Driven Advisors. If you're ready for financial detox and a better tomorrow, call 877-707-8889. Get answers to your questions. That's 877-707-8889. That's financialdetox.com for podcasts and information. And if you like what you've heard, be sure to hit the subscribe button. That way, you'll be notified about upcoming podcasts. You'll take one more step toward financial peace of mind.
This content is provided for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice or recommendations to buy or sell any types of securities. Mr. Labrum and Intelligence Driven Advisors are not responsible for the consequences of any decisions or actions taken as a result of information provided in this program and do not warrant or guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information provided. The information discussed today reflects the views of Mr. Labrum and his guests as of the date of the show and are subject to change without notice. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Any forward-looking statements or forecasts are based on assumptions, and actual results may vary from any such statements or forecasts. No reliance should be placed on any statements or forecasts when making an investment decision. Accordingly, listeners should not rely solely on information provided today in making any investment decisions. There is a risk of loss of investing in securities, including the risk of loss of principal. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there can be no assurance that any specific investment will be profitable or suitable for particular investors, financial situation, or risk tolerance. Asset allocation and portfolio diversification cannot assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses.